the show. Evan Bray on this Friday morning. A bit of a soggy one in parts of the province. My brother just texted, no harvest today. I don't even know if we'll get going this weekend. Enough rain to slow things down around our farm. We're probably seeing that in a good chunk of at least the southern part of the province. Some moisture rolled through. More is expected for tomorrow as well. There are a couple of guests that we have on the show that I would say we do it regularly. It may not be on a set schedule, but from time to time, we'll bring a number of guests on. And those guests, much like my next one, I have a little file folder. And anytime I see a story online, I get an email that pertains to something that I might want to ask the guest a question about, I put it in that folder. My Sylvain Charlebois folder was getting jammed. And so we said it's time that we bring Dr. Sylvain Charlebois back onto our program. He's food distribution and policy professor at Dalhousie University Agri-Food Analytics Lab. He's the visiting scholar in food distribution and policy at McGill University. And we get him just outside of Montreal this morning. Dr. Charlebois, thanks for taking our call. Oh, we don't have the doctor on the phone.
Can you hear me?
I got you now. Thank you very much. How are you today?
Excellent. Very good, very good. I just want to say hello to all farmers out there working very hard to feed us. So thank you for what you do.
Yeah, there's a lot. Harvest in full swing in the province for sure. So I've got a number of topics I want to talk with you about. Can we start about this bread cartel story? Am I really possibly going to get some money back from bread companies?
Actually, yes. You can. As of yesterday, you can actually file a claim. Now, I don't remember by heart the exact link, but there is a link for both Quebec and the rest of Canada. There was a settlement that was announced, I think, a few months ago. The amount was $500 million minus the gift certificates that were given out back in 2017, 2018, you may recall, Evan, again, Weston, in December of 2017, turned into Santa Claus and said, well, I'm sorry, we were part of this bread cartel thing, and we're going to give away $25 to all Canadians.
Right.
Well, only 3.8 million Canadians actually filed a claim to get the $25. And so they took that $500 million minus all the $25 that were given out. And so that amount is $404 million. So there's $404 million left to be given out to all Canadians. And you'll get a piece of it only if you file a claim as of yesterday.
Wow. So for people listening that don't understand what we're talking about with bread price fixing and the bread cartel, can you give us just a real quick synopsis?
Yep. So allegedly, seven companies were involved in this bread price fixing scheme from 2001 to 2015. So basically, we had Canada Bread, George Weston Bakeries. Those are the two bakers, and five retailers. So you have Giant Tiger, Walmart, Empire Sobeys, Metro, and of course, Loblaw. And so all seven companies were accused. Three of them have now admitted guilt. So we have George Weston Bakeries and Loblaw in 2017 did admit guilt and gave $25 to all Canadians, and here we are. So the $500 million comes from those two companies. Mm. And Canada Bread used to be owned by Maple Leaf Foods. So when the bread cartel was going on, it was actually owned by Maple Leaf Foods. And so Canada Bread, which is now owned by a Mexican group, in 2023, looking at all the files, objectively said, well, we're guilty as well. So they actually announced that they were paying a record-breaking $50 million fine to the government. Oh. And so that settled Canada Bread. Now, 10 years later, Evan, so the investigation has been ongoing for 10 years by the Constitution Bureau, it's still ongoing. So for Sobeys, for Giant Tiger, Walmart, and Metro, well, we still don't know what's happening with those companies. But for the time being, we're owed $404 million.
Wow. It's quite a story. Fascinating. Dr. Sylvain Charlebois is my guest, visiting scholar, food distribution and policy at McGill University. Okay, we know that recently the retaliatory tariffs on U.S. goods were removed. many of the items coming into Canada were likely compliant with CUSMA to begin with, but nonetheless, it's had an impact on the prices in the grocery store, maybe even the inventory. Can you give us a sense of how immediate the impact was and will be going forward?
Yeah, actually, you know, food inflation in July went up to 3.4% and got really nervous. And frankly, grocers had to adjust prices. You saw financial results coming from Loblaws and also from Empire Sobeys in the last couple of weeks. If you're out there thinking, well, grocers are gouging again, well, sorry, there's no evidence. They just basically passed on tariffs onto you, Mr. and Mrs. Consumer, essentially. Mm-hmm. And since food inflation is up 3.4%, categories that were impacted, pantry stuff, frozen stuff, of course, with produce, not necessarily produce, that's all exempt. The problem is that the consumers decided not to buy American. So grocers pivoted and started to buy, you know, stuff from Peru, Mexico, Egypt, South Africa. I'm sure you noticed at the grocery store. But to get those products in Canada, it did cost more. Mm-hmm. So that it did actually make many, many produce, many vegetables in particular, more expensive.
Mm-hmm. Sylvain Charlebois is my guest. Someone's texting as we're talking, saying, are Bix Pickles going to be back in our stores?
I would say so. Well, I mean, specifically for you guys, Safeway, because Sobeys was the only chain that decided to stop selling Bix. This is the weirdest thing about Canada Tariffs, because those pickles were Canadian.
Right.
They were sent to the U.S. back in a jar, and that was tariff, and the lids were still also Canadian. That's why I've always been very uncomfortable with the whole counter tariffs thing. Only China and Canada applied tariffs against the Americans, and frankly, with that policy, you end up hurting your own farmers. Mm-hmm. So pickle farmers out there, rest assured, you'll see Bix Pickles again in at Safeway in Saskatchewan.
All right. I've still got a couple of other topics I want to touch on while we have you as our guest. Dr. Sylvain Charlebois is joining us today. So if we think about food recalls, I actually in the past little while have thought it seems as if we're seeing them more frequently. Then I read the piece that you wrote on this talking about we've seen a climb, but you draw a parallel to this, maybe a sign of a safer food system. Can you give us your rationale?
Yeah, it was funny because this summer actually in Montreal, I was actually asked to give a talk about AI and how AI will impact food safety. And we got into this debate on AI and whether or not we would see either more or fewer recalls. And I'm of the mind that we're actually going to see more recalls. And because I've always believed that more recalls doesn't necessarily mean less safe food. Actually, it means that our system is actually working, because most recalls are voluntary and precautionary. So why not seeing AI, you know, proactively see problems up the food chain and alert everyone, allowing all players to recall a product. Now, some people are saying, well, if you do that, if you preemptively seek risk, if you actually try to minimize risk with AI, perhaps you'll see fewer recalls. So who knows what's going to happen, but my guess is that AI will absolutely make food safer in the future for sure.
Last topic I wanted to bring up, it's an article that caught my eye, when the phone replaces the kitchen. Where were you going with this one?
DoorDash, Uber Eats. Are you a user of those platforms?
You know, I have to say I'm not. We will do takeout, but I don't even have those apps on my phone. Maybe it's because I'm an old guy. Maybe it's because I'm an old guy. I don't know, Sylvain.
Because you're not rich, because it costs a lot of money to use these apps. I mean, if you order fast food, you're charged a lot more. And here's the thing. The younger generations are the ones using these apps the most. 38% of Gen Zs actually use these platforms, and 32% of millennials, whereas boomers, they're at 12%. And Saskatchewan, as a province, you guys are pretty much an average province compared to other provinces. So the usage rate right now is 27%. So 27% of Saskatchewan folks are using these apps on a regular basis. So that's not bad.
There's the convenience side of it, but there's also probably, I'm guessing, nutrition, a depletion of nutrition by not cooking our own meals.
Well, once you download one of these apps like DoorDash or Uber Eats, Evan, you'll notice one thing right away. Those platforms are heavily dominated by fast food chains. Mm-hmm. So do you think that people are getting the proper nutrition? I'm not sure. It's convenient, but I'm not sure they're getting the proper nutrition.
What about food kits? Like, I remember at one time, you know, you could order the ingredients you need to make a lasagna or something like that. Maybe it became big during the pandemic. Is that still a thing?
Meal kits. Yes, absolutely. So I call them the IKEA of food. You basically get all pieces in your own kitchen and you have to put them all together and you look like a chef. It's like IKEA. You feel like a carpenter, but you basically just put things together. Those are meal kits. Demand is stagnating in Canada. So the market last year was about $1.1 billion in Canada. There's still a market for these things. 8.5% of Canadians actually are subscribers of these services. So that would be HelloFresh, Chef's Plate, Good Food. Those are the top three in Canada. But the demand is stagnating. And so for two reasons. One, I mean, it's pretty costly. It's $12 a meal on average. It's not cheap. And two, packaging is bothering a lot of people. When you get your meals, there's a lot of packaging, styrofoam, plastic, etc., and that turns off a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Sylvain, always appreciate having you on the show. Thanks so much for carving out some time for us.
Take care, Evan. Bye-bye.
Dr. Sylvain Charlebois, food distribution and policy professor, Dalhousie University, so part of the Agri-Food Analytics Lab, also a visiting scholar at McGill University, and a reminder, You've got some money coming your way if you bought bread over the last decade. You can go online, you can find out the years, but I think they're saying the average person could qualify for up to a $100 check in the mail. That's nothing to sneeze at. There will be a lot of people putting in. I don't know how easy it is. I haven't looked into it. It's just news that came out just the other day. But as Sylvain said, in Canada, lots of people. The last time that we saw this done, by Weston? I think he said Gale and Weston. They had put out $25 certificates. There were a very small number of people in the country that actually took advantage of it. So if you want to be made whole after the bread price fixing debacle, get your bread money in the mail. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.